Today's episode is another mom of five. I know, I seem to attract moms who have lots of little kids close in age. Her name is Kristen Edwards. We were both pregnant with our twins when we met. And this is a lighthearted episode, so no tears for me this time. We talk about family dynamics of having lots of little kids, how she manages to take her kids out and about and enjoy fun attractions and doing things with her family. I really enjoyed learning from her about how she builds a positive family culture. So I hope you enjoy as much as I do. And since you're listening, I know you are because you can hear my voice, snap a picture of yourself listening to the podcast and tag me in your Instagram stories. I'm doing a giveaway, which ends September 1st. You can find out more of the details on my page at Neighborhood Twin Mom on Instagram. Hi, I'm Amber. I have five young kids, including a set of boy-girl twins. My kids were all born within 6.5 years of each other. It's a lot of kids in a little amount of time. It has been quite the journey parenting all these kids so close in age. I've learned a lot over the years, and people often come to me for advice. But let's be honest, I don't know everything. And in those cases, I turn to other moms for their advice. I believe that people living it and doing it are the real experts. So that's why each week I'll sit down with a real expert, one of my friends, a mom like you, to get all the advice you asked for, and some you didn't. This is Neighborhood Twin Mom. Welcome to the neighborhood. I have Kristen Edwards here. Our twins are both boy-girl twins, and we met. Do you remember when we met? I remember meeting you for the first time at the library.
Probably. We had a lot of mutual friends.
Yes. I had just told a mutual friend that I was pregnant. And she's like, oh, do you know Kristen Edwards? She's just found out she's pregnant with twins. And I think you must have been there that same day. Because then she's like, she's over there. And then I went over and talked to you. And you had three other kids. And so you were a little busy, like, watching all of the things. And you, I think you must have been further along. I don't remember. You were definitely pregnant. So it wasn't early in the pregnancy. I remember us both being very pregnant. Anyway, we chatted at the library, and then you ended up starting a Facebook group for our city with me and a couple other moms who were all pregnant around the same time. But that's how we met, was at the library. That's where I would meet like all my friends, at the library. But go ahead and tell us a little bit more about your kids and your family.
So we have 6 little kiddos. The first one is my husband's from his first marriage. So she's 18, quite a bit older. And then we have 5 together that were super close in age. So currently their ages are 10, 9, 8, and then the twins are almost 7. So I was pregnant 5 years, pretty much nonstop. The first two were 13 months apart, and then the other ones were 17 and 18 months apart. So when I found out I was pregnant with twins, it was quite the shock because it was the 4th pregnancy. And I was already overwhelmed that it was a 4th baby. And then to find out they were twins, I was very, very busy. So all 5 kids were under the age of 4.
I think your kids are the closest because I think you even beat Melissa Neary, right? Because Melissa's are real close in age. But I think we did the math once. And I think your kids are like 1 or 2 months closer in age than hers.
Maybe. Yeah. I can't remember.
But all 5 of your kids were in diapers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The oldest wasn't even 4 yet. So she was still wearing diapers at night or pull-ups.
Yeah. Super, super close. You're born and raised in Wyoming and live here now, but your husband, is he from Wyoming too?
Yeah, he was born in Idaho, but then pretty much lived in Wyoming most of his life. He was in California briefly for the Air Force and then came back to Wyoming. And yeah. Then we lived in Colorado for a little bit.
Yeah. So tell me about, so he's in the Air National Guard, right?
Yep.
And then he was deployed. Tell me about his deployment. How old were your kids when he was deployed?
So he deployed last summer. And so they were all a year younger. So it would have been 9, 8, 7, and almost 6s. And he was gone only 5 months. It would have been longer, but because of COVID, they ended up leaving later. So it was a huge blessing because 5 months was already really, really hard. 7 months would have been excruciating. And we made it though, and it was a good experience. And hopefully we won't have to do one again for a while.
What advice do you have for families of deployments or with, you know, kids?
I just asked for a lot of help and I found every resource that I could. And I'm pretty open and honest about my struggles as a mom and where I am lacking. I've always been probably too open. I think some people are like TMI, but I think that's how I've been able to get help, because people identify with me. And that was one reason you were instrumental in helping me get plugged in with the Twins Club in Fort Collins. I didn't even know such a thing existed. And I think actually we're getting ready to move to Denver when I had first met you. So I even plugged in with the Twin Club in Denver when we moved. And then when we came back to Cheyenne with the one closer here. So just networking is what got me through deployment, because I didn't realize there were certain resources available to guard families. Our kids got scholarships that were funded from nonprofits for activities to keep them busy, especially last year when everybody was on lockdown with COVID. We were able to do activities that they couldn't have done. They would have just been home all the time and it would have been even more difficult. We also have two kids with special needs. And so they qualify for a program that the military offers called Exceptional Family. And through that program, they funded a nanny. And so while he was gone, I had a nanny that could help me, I think like 40 hours a month. And I would just work with her on her schedule and the military helped cover her. And it was basically respite care. So it would kind of give me a break if I wanted to go have self-care, if I wanted to run errands, if I needed to go to the doctor, anything like that, that I needed the extra help. She was a lifesaver. And so those were all resources that I used that made it doable.
But you have got to have learned a lot from that experience too. What do you guys take away from that deployment?
You obviously learn to appreciate the person while they're deployed. You take a lot of things for granted with your spouse or your partner. We also learned to communicate better, because the times that we had to communicate, they were just few and far between. And I also learned that I could do more than I thought I could do. Because when he left, I was like, there's no way I can do this. There's five kids with special needs. This is so hard. This is just going to be a horrible experience. And we just kind of broke it up day by day and communicated the best we could. And then I really did learn that you can do more than you think you can, that you always will have the grace and the strength and the resources that you need. So we obviously survived and I had everything I needed.
One of my favorite things about you, Kristen, is that you're very active on social media. You're very active on posting about things that you guys do as a family and what's going on with your family. And you are so great at asking people for help. You guys, like you mentioned, you've lived in Wyoming, but then you moved to Denver. And when you moved back, there was issues with houses. And I remember, you know, I think a broken dishwasher. But you're so good at asking for help. And I don't know anybody else like that. Most women are, I don't know if it's that they're embarrassed or that they're too prideful or I don't know what it is, but I don't know very many women who ask for help. So how do you get over that? How do you ask for help? What is your philosophy on that? Do people like turn their nose up at you and say, gosh, you asked me last week? Like how?
I don't know. I guess to me, I don't feel like I ask for help as much as I should. I feel like sometimes I'm alone, but I think it's just being honest, and I'm just more of an honest person, pretty transparent. And I think obviously the more transparent you are, the more people are like, oh, I can maybe help you or whatever. I know for me, I enjoy helping people. If I have some practical way I can help them, it's easier to help. And so it's always an honor to lend a hand and not to steal somebody, you know, they have an opportunity to bless you, to let them bless you. And then I also would say that it's important to have community. It's important to network. And I don't think it helps anybody's pride to pretend like we don't have issues. Like everybody has stuff going on. And I think definitely, like you were saying, I think most people probably have like their Facebook version of them. And even my pictures on our adventures usually probably don't know all of the stuff that happened on that adventure, the fits that we had, the issues we had, the obstacles we had, the bad attitudes. You know, sometimes those pictures even look really happy, and that's just not like real life. So I just want to be real, because it's a struggle. It's hard. to be in my position, it's hard to be a mom of five kids close together. And I know other moms could benefit from just being real and saying, I need help. I don't have it all together. And it gives you permission to do your best, but not to have to be perfect.
If you're looking for a special gift to give someone and like to make people cry, which, as you know, is not too difficult for me, but I do love a custom gift, you need to check out JJ and Lou on Etsy. A fellow twin mom creates custom water paintings of families and homes. I have one on my mantle of my family. It's awesome because I didn't have to pick out or pay for any coordinating outfits, and everyone in the picture is, quote unquote, looking at the camera. For a limited time, use promo code TWIN20 at checkout for 20% off your custom order. I've ordered a few unique gifts, including a graduation portrait for a high school senior. I've commissioned a painting of the building where my friend was married and made my mother-in-law cry when I gave her a painting of her childhood home. JJ and Lou's shop is easy to work with, and I've been pleased with all the paintings I've ordered. Head to the show notes or link on my website, neighborhoodtwinmom.com, for a direct link. And don't forget to use promo code TWIN20 for 20% off your order. I appreciate your posts because I do feel that from you, that you seem like you love your kids and you guys have fun together. But when I read your posts, I'm like, oh, I've had days like that. And I know that it's relatable, definitely for me. I was telling you before we started recording that I went to this pool that's far away. We live in Wyoming, so, you know, a lot of areas are really rural. So we had to drive to get to this pool, and I would never have done it if you wouldn't have posted it. Last summer, you guys went to like all of the pools in the state. Or what?
Like within a 2-hour radius. Yeah. Cause it was, with COVID, we had to find stuff to do. And especially with two kids with some special needs that involve lots of energy, I was like, I just have to get creative and find stuff to do. But at the same time, I make mistakes too. Like we went to Elitch's like a month ago, I think. And I was like, never again, not with all five, not by myself. And so I'm brave, but I probably am stupid sometimes. And then, you know, some people are like, why are you guys like never home? Like you're always out going. And some of it's just survival for us, because if they stay busy, they stay out of trouble a little bit. They just have a lot more energy. And so we force ourselves to not always go on adventures, but I am brave and I just kind of let them go play and explore and do adventures. So
do people give you flack for taking your kids out?
Not really. I mean, obviously I think everybody has different personalities. Some people just want to be home. Once in a while I'll hear people, I don't know how you do or how you have energy. I think the flack we get mostly is just because they're crazy. And people are like, oh my goodness. They're just, you know, there could be a handful if we're at the pool or whatever. It just depends on the day. But again, it's been good for me and my pride to just know that they don't have to have it all together and be perfect. And I don't have to be together and perfect. And we're all learning and growing and we're enjoying life and we're enjoying the world that's around us. And that's okay.
I really appreciate seeing your adventures because I know, I mean, I see the pictures. I know that you guys had a good time, but I also know I'm sure somebody threw a fit or whatever because I've got five kids. So I know that that's how it is, but it gives me encouragement to be like, okay, Kristen's taking her kids out. I can get out and do something because it is good for my kids too, to not be at home. And like you said, it depends on the mom's personality and the kids' personalities, but a lot of my kids need to be out and doing and exploring. And so it gives me encouragement to get my kids out there. But you plan birthday parties for your kids every year and they're so adorable. And you're so creative. How come you put so much effort into things like that? You have the perfect excuse. You've got five little kids. Nobody would ever turn their nose up and be like, oh, well. But you put so much effort into the little things, back to school things. You guys do dates with your kids. So what's your philosophy with that?
Yeah. So I'm just big on celebrating and memories. I do enjoy it. If there was a mom who didn't enjoy it and was stressed out by it, it wasn't in her budget, it wasn't her gifting, then that shouldn't be something that she should pursue. I think Pinterest makes it super hard, and I don't ever want other moms to feel like they have to do it the way I do. Obviously, we've had to pare down sometimes because I just won't be in the mood that year. In fact, the twins' birthday is like in 2 weeks. I know your twins are, they're close together. So their birthdays are coming up too. And I was just trying to figure out what do we want to do, because you want to make it special, but you're trying to put all these pieces together. But I do enjoy it. And I also am big into just building memories. I think that kids are going to remember that more than all the toys and stuff that we buy them or gifts or whatever. And so we definitely use some of their birthday money from their grandparents. If they want a party, that's part of the agreement. That way they're investing in those activities that they want to do. And I've just learned to do stuff really frugal. I just have a big storage room. And so I can do a lot of those adventures and those parties, just reusing stuff. So it doesn't have to be extravagant or super expensive by any stretch. It's just a matter of being creative and frugal and reusing things and figuring out how you can reuse things essentially. As far as date nights, the kids need those one-on-ones. They need those memories. Birthday parties can be crazy. So sometimes we don't get to have those important discussions. So if we can go on dates, we can actually sit down and talk to our kids and listen to our kids and build memories. And they'll, you know, remember all the time. They'll be like, do you remember when we did this? And even if we just went and got ice cream, but sometimes they're even a little more memorable. And as we get ready for back to school, we'll take each of them out to eat at a place that they choose, and then usually grab them a backpack and a couple items. They might need some shoes or clothes. We don't have a huge budget where we spend hundreds and hundreds on each kid, but that way they can choose what they want. They feel a little special. We can fit in our budget. And all of those little things, I think, just add up. It obviously depends on the kid's love tank too. I mean, if you have a kid who has, if you haven't heard of love languages, like some might have gift, some might have words of affirmation. So it depends on the kid too, with those dates where we try to make sure that that date includes how they feel the most loved. And that also could go with their birthdays too, especially as I'm wrestling with, oh, what do I do for the twins' birthday? They're kind of getting age where they're like, we want our own birthday party. And I don't necessarily want to do something big. I'm like, we can just invite some neighborhood kids over now. But I just think it's important to celebrate them big and celebrate life and to have your friends and family celebrate with you. So we do have some big fun things we do for sure.
How often do you take your kids on dates?
So ideally, it would be taking all of them once a month. But with our schedules and my husband's military schedule, it's probably once every 2 to 3 months they each get something. We try to do one big thing every year. So that would be like dressing up and going all out with dinner or something. But the little ones could be just going for ice cream, or there's a pick your own bouquet place down in Fort Collins we just discovered. And so my husband will take the girls down and they can go cut their own bouquet. You know, it might take like 2 hours and then they'll just grab something late for dinner, but it's just like something simple like that. It doesn't have to be extravagant all the time.
Are they usually one-on-one dates, or do you guys go together as a couple with the kids?
They're usually one-on-one. So either I will take one or he will take one, and we try to mix it up. So sometimes it's daddy-daughter, sometimes it's daughter-mom. I just took one to like that really cute tea shop in Fort Collins, or it's in Laramie. It's like pink and it's all pink and it's like tea and it's so cute. So that was one of our things. And again, we already were in Laramie doing other errands. So we just popped in there, but it was one-on-one time with her and I to talk. And sometimes we'll play like a little game, or we'll have like a discussion game, or we'll talk about something coming up, because it is so hectic and crazy at our house with all five. I have found that to really help with that. And then we also do one-on-ones at night. We flip through that. So we just take turns and one kid will spend time with both of us, but that's when we'll read a story together. We'll pray with them. Usually we'll read from their Bible, like a Bible story, and then we pray over them and we talk about what they want prayer for and how they're doing with things. And that's been invaluable too, because trying to do story time with all five is always crazy. Like somebody is hitting somebody or interrupting or whatever. So that's something we do to connect at bedtime. So the rest just know I go to bed, mom and dad are going to hang out with that one kid, and then my turn will be tomorrow or in 5 nights.
And so each night a kid gets a night.
Yeah. Usually we'll skip like the weekends. So we have like 2 free nights. So it's not always like this kid's Monday, this kid's Tuesday. It's not always that, because sometimes our schedule's crazy, especially with it being summer. but we just go through birth order. So like tonight, somebody's one-on-one, you know, the next day, somebody else's one-on-one, and it's only like 20 minutes, but then we get to choose a book that they want to read. And now that they're starting to read, they'll read to us. We can really connect on a heart level, and we'll do like devotions and stuff at dinner, but it's usually like a 5-minute thing. And then they're like done. They just don't do well with it with a group that big. So that's what we do. It's not a date, but that's something else we do to connect with all of them.
That's great. I've wanted to do that. I just have not been able to sync it up because by the time I'm bedtime, I'm like, how about you just all go to bed?
So there are nights like that. Cause I'll be like, tonight was my one-on-one. And we're like, mommy and daddy are really tired. But it's great because if we have trouble with some kids going to bed, we'll remind them you get a one-on-one in 4 nights, but you need to make sure that we don't have to skip you if you're not going to bed. Cause I don't know about you, but my kids can give you all the excuses and take a very long time to go to bed. Please go to bed. And so it's a really good motivator because they know it's coming and they know that they're going to get that their turn. And so that helps. Dinner time is always crazy, but we do that. And then we'll usually do like 2 highs and 1 low and we'll just go around and share. They struggle sometimes with listening. So we have like a little object we'll choose as like the talking stick, but they'll interrupt and stuff. Like one of them will be talking. I'm like, I need to go get water. And you're like, oh, can you just listen? Like your sibling's trying to share. But it's still better than nothing. And so you kind of have to lower your expectations. And at least we're like connecting and we're having time to share. But even when they'll be sharing their like worst part of the day, and then they'll be like, so-and-so did this. And you're like, okay, wait a minute. We're trying to stay positive and try to stay away from the negative as far as like pointing out their sibling stuff. But again, something is better than nothing. And I think when they're older, they're going to remember that. Again, it's just memories and it's building like rhythm and routine into our family culture so that we can talk about the adventures and the things that they want to do with their lives.
That's great. I had a friend who their family did rose and thorns. That's what they called it. What good thing and a bad thing. And I make my kids say something they're thankful for at dinner. When COVID started, we were needed things to look forward to and to be grateful for. I started making the kids say something every night that they're thankful for. And about half of the nights, my son says, I'm thankful that you asked me what I'm thankful for. But we're working on it. We're working on it. Okay. Tell me your best advice for twin moms.
So I'm just a creative person. I think you just get creative. And I don't know about you. I remember you struggled right after your twins were born too. I mean, for me, it was like whatever it takes. And so obviously there's lots of controversy with like feeding, how you choose to feed your kiddos. For me, I was like, we're going to try breastfeeding. If it doesn't work within very quickly, because I have 3 under 3 already, then I'm okay with bottles. And it was the best choice for our family because nobody had jaundice. All of my other babies had jaundice. They didn't because they were getting milk so soon. And I had other people that could help feed them. So for me, I'm just like, do whatever it takes to take care of your kiddo. And obviously you have to let go of expectations because I wanted to breastfeed. I wanted to believe all these things were going to be easy and they weren't for me. And so I think that was the big thing. I swear by the nap thing. I mean, you hear a lot of people being like, just nap when they nap, which is hard to do when you have little ones. Thankfully, we were blessed in that my husband's dad lived with us for a few years. And so I couldn't have done it without him. So I know not everybody has that, but he would often take at least one feeding for me and he would prop them up in a pillow and, you know, prop their bottles up, which you're not supposed to do, but we did. And then I also had all my babies swaddled and they slept in swings. Both of them would sleep in swings and I would wake both of them up to eat at the same time. And I would change them. Usually the boy twin, my husband would be half asleep, but he would feed him and then I would feed her, but then I would change them both and swaddle them and put them back in bed. So that's one thing I liked about not having to breastfeed was that I had somebody else to help me. And I still probably took naps till they were 4 or 5 with them. So we just napped. I'm a big napper. I'm also just a night owl. So I stay up really late till like midnight. one sometimes. And so a nap was always key. So I would just sleep with them up until they went to kindergarten. And so naps were key. And I loved all the double things. I loved the double strollers. I loved the double like floaty that we would put in the pool and they would swim with me. So those things weren't around as far as I know, even 10 years ago. So we were really blessed in that we had some of that equipment that I think made it easier to have twins. The other one of advice is, you know, we would feed them at the same time. I would change them at the same time, even if they didn't necessarily need it, because if not, you could just be stuck in the cycle where they're just eating all day long. And even at this age, now that they're almost 7, they don't really look like twins. Mine don't. I think yours look more like twins. Mine, people wouldn't know they were twins.
People have stopped asking me if they were twins when they're about a year and a half old.
Mine still have like a bond. They definitely take really good care of each other. They enjoy each other, but they are in separate rooms now just because they're different gender. And so I have 2 girls in one room and 2 boys in one room. But I'm still like learning. I mean, I'm still struggling with like their birthday party, or do I put them in the same class at school? All of those things you still have to fill out. And it's just different for every family. And I think you just need to be okay with the decisions you make. And it's okay to backtrack if you need to. If it doesn't fit, you know, it's fine. But now that there is this age and we had our 5 close together, it's not like the twins really aren't any different. They just share a birthday. It's like just another sibling, basically. We choose to put them in separate classes because the girl twin is way more like bossier and he's very sweet. He will do whatever she asks him to do. So I just separated them and they're quite a bit different in their levels of learning as well. And so that's what they've done, but they have a very special bond. Like the teachers see them in the hallway and they go hug their twin. But at least for us, that's what we've done and we found success with. So I know I'll be probably learning twinness. That's a word, twinness, for the rest of their lives. Cause it's just a different beast. Even when they're out of the home and they're adults, it'll still be a little just different than our other kiddos.
I agree. I think you move from one hard stage or one hard thing to another thing. I mean, There's always pros and cons to each stage of life. Yep. I always tell my kids, you can't ever come back and be this age again. So just enjoy it while you can.
Right.
But things change. But I do remember I asked you how you were feeding the kids and you said, Amber, bottles rock. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so my husband took feedings, a whole chunk of feedings. And then I took a whole chunk of feedings. So then we got longer chunks of sleep because we did bottles. So that's what worked for us.
Cause it feels like that first month when they're waking up every 2 hours, you literally just get them down and then they're like screaming again, feed me. And you're like, I just like literally put my head down. And my husband was working obviously during that time. I think he had like a week off, but he would at least hold the kid and hold his bottle in and he would sleep through it. But then he'd be like, hey, he's done. And I would get him up and burp him and change him. But it's amazing. I feel bad. I mean, single moms, and there's a lot of military moms that I know that just don't have that help. And so I've even like volunteered to come over and just help take just one feeding, because if they're waking up every 2 hours, if you take a feeding, and it's hard when they're breastfeeding, but even if they just can sleep with the baby on them or whatever, but you can change them or whatever, it can give them 4 more hours of sleep to feel like they can function again.
But you will sleep again. Even if you have little kids, you will sleep again.
You will sleep again. I mean, I'm so tired. It's a different kind of tired. I think you would agree when they're older, because it's busier because they're in elementary, so you're running around, but you do get longer stretches. And at least now I can be like, can you please go read? I'm taking a nap. And then you can set a timer. And so that's huge too. So there's always pros and cons to everything, every age.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I have appreciated your friendship and your advice. Our kids are so close in age and I love running into you around town and seeing our kids the same age. So if you don't have anything else, I think we'll just end the interview.
Nope. That's awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to hang out some more, you can follow me on Instagram at @neighborhoodtwinmom. If you want more info on what we talked about in this episode or a transcription of the audio, head to neighborhoodtwinmom.com. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating and review. This helps other people be able to find the podcast. Music for this episode was composed by Cameron Norby. Find more of his work on YouTube.